In your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 2 for our second reading. Second Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountain, and 3,600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent to Huram, the king of Tyre, saying, As thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him cedars to build him an house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings, morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him an house, seeing the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him an house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? Send me now therefore a man cunning to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in iron and in purple and in crimson and blue, and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide. Send me also cedar trees, fir trees, and algum trees out of Lebanon, for I know that thy servants can skill to cut timber in Lebanon, and behold, my servants shall be with thy servants, even to prepare me timber in abundance, for the house which I am about to build shall be wonderful great. And behold, I will give to thy servants, the hewers that cut timber, 20,000 measures of beaten wheat, and 20,000 measures of barley, and 20,000 baths of wine, and 20,000 baths of oil. Then Huram, the king of Tyre, answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, Because the Lord hath loved his people, he hath made thee king over them. Huram said, moreover, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, that made heaven and earth, who hath given to David the king a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that might build an house for the Lord and an house for his kingdom. And now I have sent a cunning man, endued with understanding, of Huram my father's, son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre, skillful to work in gold and in silver, in brass, in iron, in stone, and in timber, in purple, in blue, and in fine linen, and in crimson. Also to grave any manner of graving, and to find out every device which shall be put to him, with thy cunning men, and with the cunning men of my lord David thy father. Now, therefore, the wheat, and the barley, and the oil, and the wine, which my Lord hath spoken of, let him send unto his servants, and we will cut wood out of Lebanon, as much as thou shalt need, and we will bring it to thee in floats by sea to Joppa, and thou shalt carry it up to Jerusalem. And Solomon numbered all the strangers that were in the land of Israel, after the numbering wherewith David his father had numbered them, and they were found 150,000 and 3,600. And he set 70,000 of them to be bearers of burdens, and 80,000 to be hewers in the mountain, and 3,600 overseers to set the people a work. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so let's just maybe prosecute an overview of this passage. The first is, notice Solomon sets about to build the temple. He has a commandment, and he's earnest to fulfill it. There's a good example. So let's pick that up off the page, and let's say there's a good example to follow. Whenever we have some work that the Lord has put into our hands, let's be up early and about that. Let's go early to our work rather than putting it off and putting it off. Whenever we see people tarrying in Scripture, we see bad things happen. Whenever we see people up and early at their responsibilities, we see good things happening. Okay? So that's the first good example. Notice also he provides for the laborers by hiring them, and he negotiates a proper wage with the king of Tyre, and his name is Huram or Hiram. Now, we want to understand that there are two Hirams in the passage. There's the first Hiram, which is the king of Tyre. Then there's a second Hiram, who is the artificer that the first Hiram, the king, sends south to Solomon to help him to labor in the building of the temple. It says of the original artificer for the tabernacle, Bezalel, that he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. It says, however, for this artificer, being not an Israelite, that he was endued with wisdom and understanding. And so that's a little bit lesser. But we note that the pattern, as we read earlier, came from David, and that was pressed upon him by the Spirit. Okay? So we see that there is a consistency, although there is a difference as well. There's some continuity and some discontinuity with the way the former tabernacle under Moses was built. Notice that Solomon says that the house must be great. Why? Because the God is great that is served in the house. Okay, so this is also a good example to us, telling us that our services to the Lord are indeed to be what? Great, that is wholehearted, with our whole self. Why? Because great is the God that we serve. We must remember that. We must not simply come and check the box and in some kind of rote fashion fill up that which our duty is to fill up. Instead, we want to come and ensure that those services we offer to Him are great. That is, that we come great-hearted to the great God. Okay? So there are things that we do, right, to make sure that takes place. There are means to that end. The end, it belongs to God, but there are means along the way to that end, right? So we prepare to worship Him. We meditate upon that worship before we get there. We think about those things that we are going to do, those services that He says, bring these to me. We think about how we'll do that, and we practice them. We want to get better at them. We want to be, if I can say it this way, greater at them, because great is the God that receives them. It will not do to serve the Lord, children, you'll know what I mean when I say this, the way we make our beds sometimes. It will not do that way. That will not do to come before the Lord with half-hearted efforts. It will not do to come before the Lord with distraction and other things. Who is He? Solomon says who He is. He is great. And so He is worthy of more than you can offer Him, but that doesn't mean you don't offer Him what you can. That's one of those deals where you hear people say, oh, well, I can't do what's right, so I won't do anything at all. No, that's not what we should be doing. He is worthy of our best plus. And so, if He's worthy of our best plus, we should come to Him with our best. All right, so he asks for the following things with regard to the temple, for building materials, for an architect, a master builder. He does not have to be an Israelite, but he has to be skillful. The building has to be expert, directed by the Spirit of God in its architecture. And so he provides labor from his own stores, and notice, he pays his way. Like David, his father, at the threshing floor of Ornan, David said, I would not offer up to the Lord things that are not costly to me, things that cost me nothing. And so Solomon says, whatever you give us, we will pay for. And so they get the trees, they get the gold, they get the silver, they get the workers, they get the artificer. And in return, Solomon sends them wheat and barley and oil and wine and so on. So there is a proper exchange of goods here and services, and that is as it should be. Okay, so then Hiram answers back in verse 11 through the end of the chapter. And Hiram's reply is, I think it's fascinating. The first thing he says is, the Lord has set such a wise king over His people Israel because He loved them. Think on that for a moment with me. What kind of a people does the Lord give wise rulers to? What kind of a people does the Lord give godly rulers to? A people that are the objects of His love. A people whom He intends to bless. So what does that say about our establishment? Well, that we have a ways to go, right? The Lord has not been pleased to give us, quote-unquote, godly leadership. Now, there are some bright lights in the midst of that dark galaxy, no doubt. And we pray that the Lord would be with our magistrates and that He would grant wise rulers and leaders over us in every estate of our civil establishments. The states and the country and the townships and the so on and so forth. In security forces, in magistratical forces, in all of that. We do pray that the Lord would grant us godly rulers. The Lord says here, Hiram says, and I think rightly, it is because the Lord loved His people that He hath made thee king over them. All right, so with all of that then, let's just talk about a couple of things that may be confusing. First of all, we've already talked about the two Hirams. Now we need to talk about the two accounts. So in 1 Kings 7 and 8, we have the historical account there, and then this is the second account that was written some 400 years later, 440, 50 years later than the original account in 1 Kings 7 and 8. And there are some interesting discrepancies. Okay, the discrepancies, however, are not, we don't relegate them to scribal errors or something like that. They're just ways of saying things that are different. Okay, so some of the numbers are different than what we see. But that's because the accounting is quite possibly different between the two accounts. There are those, sometimes when a particular force, whether it's a military force or a labor force, is counted, sometimes it's counted in its totality. Sometimes it's counted according to one particular people within that accounting. Sometimes it's accounted for simply in its leadership. And so some of those discrepancies of numbers can be accounted for in that way. The other interesting accounting or difference is this guy, Hiram, the artificer. It says in 1 Kings that his mother was from the tribe of Naphtali. It says here that she was a woman of the daughters of Dan. Okay, so, and then it says also that his father was a man of Tyre. He was a Tyrian. Okay, so what does that mean? What does all that mean? Well, I think Kyle and Dalich actually do a really nice job of explaining what, at least one possible way of understanding that. That she was born a Danite, married into Naphtali, was widowed, and then was married to a man of Tyre, and so had a son subsequent to that last marriage with the man of Tyre, and this is the Hiram that we know here. Now, there, you know, that's one way of explaining what we call an apparent discrepancy. Let me just say this, that when we come to the Scriptures, we don't come to the Bible expecting discrepancies. It's the Word of God preserved by God. And so what we expect, rather, is that things are going to make sense. Sometimes we have to work a little harder to see how they might make sense. But a faithful attitude toward the Scripture is not, okay, let me find what's wrong here, but let me find what's right. Let me find how I can bring these things together. All right, so I think that is all. Yep, that's it. All right, well, let's stand then.